You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
It may be winter, but that doesn't mean plants stop growing, at least the ones that we keep indoors. And then there's the whole issue of how to keep your Christmas tree from dropping all of its needles before the new year, and what to do with all those plants that you've been given as gifts that you have no idea how to care for. So we have invited our favorite horticulturist, Gerard Lordahl, the greening director of Grow NYC, to join us again to answer all of your questions. And Gerard, I'm always happy to see you.
Nice to be here, Leonard, again. Thank you.
And, of course, we invite our audience to join in the conversation. You can call us at 212-433-9692 with your questions for Gerard, or you can write to us on our show page at wmyc.org/Lopate. And our handle on Twitter is at Leonard Lopate. We're also on Facebook. These holidays can be problematic when you're given all sorts of plants that may be unfamiliar to you. The most popular, perhaps, is poinsettias or poinsettias or whatever people want to call it. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone who's been able to get one of them to bloom again the next year. You have?
Yes. It is a process, but it does take some time. They are photosensitive plants, and it's recommended that you grow them as beautiful houseplants throughout the year. You cut back the flower after the holiday, and then you grow it as a nice green houseplant. It is a tropical plant, so it likes to be kept warm. It's native to Mexico. It was brought in by Ambassador Poinsett in 1851 or something. But for your listeners, don't throw it in the trash heap right away or in the compost heap. Try to grow it as a green plant. And then to get it to flower, it's a bit complicated, but it's photosensitive and it needs a certain number, I believe it's 12 hours, half a day of darkness and half a day of light for a prolonged period of time. So what people do is they get a box covered with a black paper bag, plastic bag, and they cover it for 12 hours straight for a series of weeks. Who's going to do that? So the professional poinsettia growers are better off putting them into flower. But if you have a lot of high humidity in a greenhouse, sometimes your poinsettia will bloom again.
But you always keep them indoors?
Yes, they're temperate, so they really need to be above 50 degrees. They can't take the frost.
How do you treat cyclamen plants? One friend was so mystified that it almost died before she learned what to do with it.
Yeah, cyclamen, they're a tuber, pretty much like a bulbous plant like dahlia, if you will, and they don't like drafts indoors. So people make the mistake of putting them by their window where there's a radiator, and they burn up. They also go dormant. So after they flower, the leaves will die down, and then the tuber will rest. And then people don't realize that. So some of these holiday plants have complicated life cycles.
And are they plants that bloom in the winter, or are they forced to bloom simply because we want
to
have plants?
That's right, this time of year. Where they're native, there are different times that they go into bloom. Christmas cactus is another one. And some people know that Christmas cactus are also photosensitive, like poinsettias, where they start to bloom when the days get shorter. But some people can get their Christmas cactus to bloom by putting them out on the windowsill where it's cooler around Halloween, about the end of October. And that cold stimulation and those shorter days that they respond to will set buds. And some people will get their Christmas cactus to set buds, and now they'll be blooming indoors.
So do they like cold weather?
They respond to cold weather. In Mexico, in the evening, the temperature does go down drastically, as we know in the desert areas where these plants are from. There are cool night temperatures that they respond to. And now that we're in the winter solstice, the days are getting shorter. And when they're outdoors in nature, these plants respond to that shorter day by flowering, because flowering is going to increase their progeny.
Are there any plants that thrive during the winter?
Oh, sure.
Because I was talking about keeping them indoors. I know that some people actually start seedlings in the winter, and
that's
that
right.
They wind up with hardier plants. But
yeah.
Are there some plants that thrive despite the fact that they're snowed upon?
Well, you know, our evergreens that are outdoors, they're surviving until the ground freezes. So for all the gardeners that are out there, community gardeners, homeowners, on days like today where the weather is mild, your roots are actively still growing. So you should go out and water them as much as possible, especially your broadleaf evergreens like rhododendrons and azaleas and akuba. This is a perfect day with 40, 50 degree temperature where the soil has not froze yet to actually go out and give the roots some water so that they can survive through the winter. Your question was, do they grow actively in the freezing temperature? When it's 30 degrees, you're not going to have any growth outdoors.
The real trick for a tree is to survive during the really freezing temperature.
Trees, shrubs, this is a good time to do your winter pruning. Anything that's deciduous, that means it drops its leaves, this is a good time to go out in your yard or your community garden and remove any dead or diseased wood because the trees, the shrubs are going dormant. However, big caution, you do not want to prune anything that is spring flowering. So your lilacs, your azaleas, if you prune those now, you're going to be pruning off the flowers.
Let's take a call from Miguel from Manhattan. Our number here is 212-433-9692. Hi, Miguel.
Hi. My question is about a Meyer lemon tree. I have it in a big pot, and I keep it outside during the spring, summer, and fall. But once it starts getting frost, I bring it in. What can I do to keep that alive during the winter? I've had winters where all the leaves fall off, and then it takes half of spring, summer for it to come back.
Right.
Is there
okay.
Anything I can do?
Well, here's the thing, and many people make this mistake. I assume you may have done this as well, which is why the leaves turn brown. You need to start bringing in your outdoor plants when the temperature indoors and outdoors is about 70 degrees.
Wow.
So when would that be?
Early.
You're talking about maybe September? People make the mistake and they wait till it's freezing and then bring in their Meyer lemon. And then what happens is the plant reacts by that difference in temperature and humidity by dropping its leaves and starting all over again. So if you gradually transition your house plants from outdoors to indoors with as little fluctuation in temperature as possible, you'll be more successful. And the other thing is your average apartment has a very low humidity percent. And plants in general are tropical. For the most of the house plants we have are tropical. They like a high humidity. So you could put your plants under a clear plastic dry cleaner bag for a while and mist it with water, and that will raise the humidity in an emergency. Things like gardenias will benefit from that. Poinsettias that are in trouble or wilting. Any house plant that's wilting, you could do that in an emergency situation and raise the humidity.
Okay, Miguel.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That. Thank you.
And Kelly from Maplewood, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Hi, I had a question about a fiddle leaf fig tree plant that I have here in my office. I brought it to my office after having it at home where it started to drop leaves and started to die. It's doing wonderfully here, but I'm a little bit worried about it over winter, and I was wondering if there's anything special I should be doing.
Right. I have a fiddle leaf fig in my office as well. And, you know, you have to keep them really well watered. Don't let them dry out for a long period of time because they will drop leaves. And also in office spaces or at homes, the radiator is close nearby, so you want to make sure that they're not going to dry out. They're pretty active growers indoors, and we have some very large fiddle leaf figs in our office that have survived for years. But the key is large pots with ample moisture and a decent amount of sunlight.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck.
And our guest is Gerard Lardell, who is the greening director of Grow NYC. And we're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. People are also writing in. One listener, Jane, is worried about her streptocarpus. She says it can get finicky and suddenly won't like drinking water. Do they require special care?
Streptocarpus is not finicky, but
Maybe hers is.
Well, yeah, I would say, you know, a lot of times with houseplants in general, if the plant's pot is not large enough, that creates havoc for the plant. You want to make sure you have good, sterilized soil that's nutritious and that holds water and nutrients. In the wintertime, don't feed your plants because they're pretty much growing less because of less sunlight, and you don't want to over-fertilize them. And then giving them as much direct sunlight is what will help, at the same time keeping the soil evenly moist, not soaking wet, no puddling, and not bone dry.
Are really warm apartments a problem?
Most of our houseplants are tropical, so they tend to prefer more warmth than cold. Most plants will take temperatures down to about 50 degrees. Orchids, some of the indoor Phalaenopsis orchids and some of the easier orchids prefer cool night temperatures. So people will often grow Phalaenopsis or moth orchids in rooms that they keep the temperature a little cooler, and your orchids will benefit from that, at the same time getting a decent amount of eastern or southern sunlight.
Joan from North Hilton, New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. There seem to be two schools of thought on poinsettias and cats or pets, and I'm just wondering, are they poisonous, harmful to pets or not?
It depends on what you define as harmful. If you go to the Poison Control Center on hotline or website, you'll see that poinsettia, along with mistletoe and lots of other plants, amaryllis, daffodils, are listed as plants that are toxic to a certain extent to pets and humans. Now, when you look at poinsettia, it'll often say that your dog or cat may have digestive problems if consumed. So they're saying that, you know, there may be issues for your particular pet, and keep those plants away from your animals. Don't take the risk.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
And since you mentioned amaryllis, someone is asking about amaryllis plants. She can't get them to rebloom.
That's another challenge, like the poinsettia. Uh-huh. But again, the amaryllis likes to rest after it's flowered. You want to allow the leaves, the strap-like leaves of the amaryllis, to continue to grow, water it after it's bloomed, but then you'll see the leaves will start to turn yellow. This is after flowering. When you start to see the leaves turning yellow, stop watering it, and the amaryllis bulb needs to go dormant and rest. Once you stop watering it, it'll trigger that dormant period, and then you could actually start watering it again in spring, and you'll see you could be successful in getting it to grow and flower a second time. But you must let the amaryllis bulb rest and stop watering it to go dormant for a couple of weeks.
Josephine from Rutherford, New Jersey, you have a secret for getting poinsettias to bloom?
When I was teaching, I had a big closet in the back of the room. A student came in the morning. He'd take my big white, which had now been dormant over the summer, blooming a little bit, put my big white poinsettia in the closet after school. And in the morning, he'd come in, take it out. I had 8 beautiful blooms the following Christmas from the plant the year
before.
Perfect.
That's a great example.
I've also had success with the amaryllis,
yes,
too. So they do. What I'm telling people is, don't throw them out. If you have room in your house, keep them aside. I put my amaryllis up in the attic, and they could bloom. One year they were white, one other year they were red. And this year I had six amaryllis red amaryllis blooms from the same bulb.
Excellent example. Yes, recycle and renewal. We're doing all of that. Even your geraniums. Some people who grow geraniums outdoor in the pots, you could actually bring them indoors, shake off the soil, turn them upside down in a brown paper bag, and then let them go dormant and plant them again in the spring.
Of course, you have to have a lot of closet space.
You do. That's one of the things.
My guest is Gerard Lordahl, Greening Director of Grow NYC, and we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. All of our lines are full right now, but you can also write to us on our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate or tweet us. Our handle is @LeonardLopate. Donald Trump, if you're listening, you can tweet us Or you can go to our Facebook page. And also, you sometimes invite people to get in touch with you at your office?
I do. We have a website that has lots of information, particularly our city lot sheets. We have lots of gardening information at grownyc.org. That's our website. And we give a lot of public information out about starting a rainwater harvesting system, how to protect your garden from possible storm damage. There's lots of things available, houseplant information, perennial plant information on our website.
We're going to take a little break now. We'll be back with more from Gerard after this. We're back with Gerard Lordahl, the greening director at Grow NYC, taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Before we get to the calls, just a little bit about keeping a Christmas tree in the house. Are there ways of getting them to last longer? I've heard putting ice cubes in the water might help. Also, an aspirin in the water once a week. Are any of those things true?
Anything that's going to add a little nutrition, or people put 7-Up, they put sugar, any of those things that will prolong the length of the tree will help. However, if you haven't given your tree a fresh cut at the bottom, it's not going to be able to take up any of the nutrition, no matter what you put in that reservoir. So it's important back when you pick the tree out, that you give it a fresh cut and you put it as soon as possible in water to draw up that water. Some people will also, they'll cut the sides of the trunk, and that'll allow for more surface area where water can be brought up. Now, the big thing is when you bring it inside, once you put your Christmas tree, which has had its roots cut off and is starting to slowly die, if you put it by a radiator or anything that's going to give off a lot of heat, it's going to shorten the life of that dying Christmas tree. So the cooler you keep it, the better. The longer you keep it outside, the longer you keep it in cold temperature, the longer it will last. However, if it's been cut and just was not given enough water to take up immediately, you won't get a fresh tree to last you very long.
What about the lights? Do they produce enough
heat
to make it worthwhile?
From what I understand, negligible. I get calls from people who say they're doing a live Christmas tree, and today, if you have it, you have to plan ahead for live tree. You have to dig the hole for where the root ball will go before the ground freezes and before the snow comes, and you have to make sure that that's all prepared so that at the end of the holiday, you have that hole and you have some compost or soil to pack around with some mulch as well. So a lot of my questions now are about frantically trying to garden before the ground freezes. Those of your listeners who haven't planted their daffodil bulbs or their tulip bulbs, get them in the ground now. Any transplanting you want to do, the ground here in New York is not frozen, so we have a little time before the ground freezes and we can't get into the ground.
Ruth from Rego Park asks, can I still plant allium bulbs?
Yes.
Or can I keep them for next year?
I would recommend putting them in the ground. It is still, as I said, the soil is still workable. It hasn't froze yet. So allium is an onion, and you could have them in your garden, and they'll come up in the spring, survive the winter.
Let's take some calls. Susan from Staten Island. Hi. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Okay. Susan, you're coming in loud and clear.
Good. I love when you have this guy on the show.
We do, too.
Every year around Halloween, I buy my chrysanthemums, right? Place them outside on the stoop. And then I throw them away. And a friend told me that there's a certain kind of chrysanthemum that will come back.
Oh, yeah, your friend is right. And again, the theme today is renewing and reusing your plants. Chrysanthemums are perennial, and you should plant all of your chrysanthemums because they're all perennial, which means they have a root system that overwinters. So your friend is absolutely right. So after that chrysanthemum flowers, you could take it out of the plastic pot and put it in the ground, and it'll come back year after year. It's a perennial.
So in other words, you can't keep it in the pot. So you know, you have to plant it in the ground.
You have to plant it in the ground. Chrysanthemums won't survive indoors, if that's what you're saying. They need
wonderful.
To go outside.
That's like a wonderful savings, too.
It is, yeah. You don't have to buy them. And you'll know as the season continues and they grow, it's a good idea to keep them cut back. So prune them up till about the 4th of July, and they'll be nice and short and stocky and give you nice flowers.
Thank you, Susan. Tammy, hi, you're on the air. Tammy from Brooklyn.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I have a gardenia that I brought in. Now I know from listening to you that I brought it in too late because it's been losing leaves, and I waited until it was pretty cold out before I brought it in. But when I brought it, but the reason I left it out was because it was budding, and I was hoping that the flowers, you know, would have an opportunity to open before I brought them inside, because I was afraid if I brought them in, they wouldn't be able to open. So now they're inside and they're not open, although they recently opened a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, at first I thought maybe I should just snip them off and give the gardenia a break over the winter.
Well,
what do you think?
The best thing would have been to bring them indoors. Gardenias like a lot of high humidity, a lot of moisture, and good sunlight. In your case, it sounds like your gardenia is failing. I would do an emergency, intensive care thing and get a clear dry cleaner bag and put the entire pot and saucer and plant under this clear plastic dry cleaner bag. Get a spray bottle, spray it with water every day. Make sure there's a lot of moisture in the soil. The roots should be always moist. The soil should be always moist. Put it in full sun, and you may get those buds to open up and hold on. The reason, the fact that you left it out and it may have gotten frosted, that will cause the buds to drop off. So try and revive it in intensive care indoors under this dry cleaner bag with lots of water.
Okay, Tammy?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Do you know that song, I'm a Little Gardenia in an Onion Pot?
I do now.
I do is cry all day.
I just wanted to mention a lot of people are contacting us at the office asking what they can do to prevent bees, the colony collapse disorder. And I just wanted to share with you, maybe for the new year, your listeners can think about planting for pollinators like bees and be particularly mindful of not using harmful chemicals. There's a particular chemical that people use to kill grubs in their lawn, and it's a group of chemicals called neonicotinoids. And the scientists at Penn State are saying that these chemicals could be messing up the memory of bees and causing or contributing to colony collapse disorder. So for the new year, maybe we could all think about helping the bees this coming year and plant things like hosta and different vines, trumpet vine, that will attract bees and help out our colonized bees and enjoy their delicious honey.
My guest is Gerard Lordahl, who visits us fairly regularly on this show to talk about horticulture and floriculture. He is the greening director of Grow NYC, which involves helping people with the community gardens, among other
things.
Right,
and we have a new farmhouse opening just south of Union Square in January, public programming in our farmhouse right at 76 East 13th Street. People are going to learn how to garden.
Oh, great.
They'll learn how to cooking demonstrations by the Green Market chefs. So we're excited about the public programming of Farmhouse.
This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate, taking your calls. Elizabeth from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a mission fig tree on my balcony facing southwest in Manhattan, and I'm wondering how I should prepare it for the winter.
And I want to add that Sal from Brooklyn wants to know about wrapping up a fig tree in Brooklyn.
Okay. So I'm glad you mentioned, and lots of calls about figs. Figs are somewhat sensitive in our area, and we've had good years and we have bad years. In community gardens like the Hattie Carthan Garden, there are large fig trees that have been growing there for 30 years that produce lots and lots of figs. In my own neighborhood in Brooklyn, there are people growing figs in their backyard successfully. The trick is they're often up against the building where it's warm. They're often in southern exposures where the winter sun keeps them warm. They don't like cold temperatures. They typically do not grow here. They grow in the Mediterranean. So you're going to find that we need to protect them. Now, there's lots of different trains of thought about how to cover them. My grandfather, my Italian grandfather, would get tar paper. He would, in the fall, he would put newspaper around the fig, tie it with string, tie the outside with tar paper, and put a coffee can on top to prevent the rain from getting in there. And inevitably...
Was that a good idea?
It was. It usually protected them enough. Sometimes you'll get rot. If water gets into the newspaper, it will rot. When we have very heavy winters, we will lose fig trees. We have a farm on Governor's Island, the Governor's Island Teaching Garden, where students can come from public schools all over. And we have figs growing there, but one winter that was severe killed our fig trees. So what you can do is try as much as you can with burlap or with mulch to cover the surface of the soil to protect those roots from freezing temperatures as much as possible. And if you can, you could go the traditional route of wrapping your fig tree with burlap or with tar paper, stuffing it inside with dry newspaper and preventing moisture from getting in there by putting a coffee can on top if possible.
And when do you take all of that off?
Then in the spring, you would take all of that off and look for any dead wood and remove it. A lot of times you'll get branch death through the winter, but the roots will still be alive, so you just have to cut it back and you'll still have a thriving fig tree. But try to protect them as much as possible. On your terrace, put up a windscreen if you can. Protect the roots. You should have at least 3.5 feet of soil all around your mission fig tree roots in order for it to survive the winter. If it's in a pot that's exposed on a terrace, it's probably not going to make it.
Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Derek from the Upper West Side.
Hi. Orchids. I like orchids. I keep one in the house by the window facing east for the morning sun. But in the winter, they don't do it. They die. They get crippled. What do I do?
Okay, well, remember that these plants need sunlight. So people, I see people walking around during holiday time with Phalaenopsis orchids, which are tropical, in 30-degree weather. They just bought them from the florist, and somebody didn't tell them that those orchids need to be wrapped. If you're buying something and moving it from the florist or the greenhouse where you bought it to your home. So don't be foolish and expose these tropical expensive plants like orchids and poinsettias and cyclamen to the extremely cold winter temperatures. Wrap them up in newspaper, in plastic bags. And then when you get them home, you must provide them with sunlight. Plants need light. You could supplement with grow lights or with fluorescent lights, but people make the mistake of thinking they could just put their orchid in a dark room because it looks nice on that coffee table and not worry about watering it or giving it sunlight. I have budding Phalaenopsis orchids in my own home right now, and I make sure that they stay moist. I make sure they get eastern sunlight, and they're quite happy. So replicate that, and you should be successful.
Thank you.
Jana from Westchester. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Leonard. I love your show, and I think this might be one of the first times I ever got through the call line.
Congratulations.
My question is, I have a garden, and I live in Westchester, and I love lilies and have always planted them throughout the houses I've lived in. And last year, this past summer, was the first time that we were ever affected by these terrible red lily beetles. And I'm sure that your gardening expert is well aware of them. They're absolutely awful.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to rescue some of the lilies, but not all of them. And from what I read, they overwinter in the soil. they will come back every year.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's not much that I can do about it. I can, you know, try and destroy the larvae. It's so disgusting. I cannot even tell you how grossed out I was.
Right. But and this speaks to the whole issue of cleanup. And, you know, now is the time of year when it's mild and in the fall. This is why it's important to control as many as the pests as you can. As the listeners, yes. as the caller saying, you can't control everything in the garden, but removing all the leaves that are on the ground, those leaves harbor disease and insects. Cultivating the soil, that often exposes diseases and kills insects. Using any of the organic methods of controlling pests, using biological control. For the beetles that you're talking about, there are lures. Like the Japanese beetles are lured into traps, and that could give some protection. You could also create physical barriers around your lilies that will prevent those larvae from coming up and feeding on your lily. So check out some of the organic garden supply companies, and you may find like Gardens Alive will have organic remedies for those lily beetles.
And we have lots of calls coming in, and we have no more time, Gerard. Oh. We do have a listener who wanted to know about pruning a Concord grape monster. It's a very large, old-growth grapevine. What would account for this year's, last year's small and distinctly not tasty harvest?
Yeah, I mean, grapes are very high maintenance. So if you go online and get, you have to really study how to properly prune grapes. But it's a process. And our website also has information. So you could go to grownyc.org and you could send us messages and we'll be happy to help the public answer your gardening questions.
So as a follow-up, go to grownyc.org.
Right. And we have information. And there are all sorts of, there's lots of good information, but from the botanical gardens here in New York City about pruning grapevines for production.
And we have a link to you on our show page at wnyc.org/lopate. Gerard, as always, it's been a great pleasure having you on our show.
Thank you. I'm enjoying giving out information to all our listeners. Appreciate it.